This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
At some point, you have to assume that ownership is going to say, hang on a second. I only have 5 years left with Josh Allen, and we've yet to get to a Super Bowl. I need to make a change. I need an offensive coach that's going to get more out of Josh Allen and the talent around him. Or I need this, or I need that, or I just need different. We got to do something different. So I think that's a very real factor
I'm
to consider as we go each and every year into Josh Allen's career.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk there with Chris Sims. They had a long conversation about the clock ticking on Sean McDermott. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It is NFL football season. Eagles and Cowboys tonight from Philadelphia. Banner raising for Philadelphia. And the NFL season begins tomorrow. It's Chargers and Chiefs in Brazil. And then we're off to a full slate of games on Sunday.
So set your fantasy lineups.
Yes, yes. Do
for
that.
For tonight.
We got injuries to talk about for this matchup. I've asked a question on Twitter. I want to get back to this comment from Florio, too, and kind of, I don't know, see what we get out of it. But what about this Bills team are you most eager to see Sunday night against Baltimore, other than, you know, Josh Allen doing freak show things like he does, which is always pretty fun? Like, what part of the team are you most eager to finally get a regular season set of reps to look for? 803-0550 is our phone number. Let us know what for you it is, the number one thing that you are looking for. My answer for that is it's probably Kincaid. It's Kincaid or Coleman, right? It's the two pieces that are high investments on the offense that are supposed to do what Florio's kind of talking about there, like more help around Allen and, you know, a pass catcher to help him more to become a problem, whether that's growth from Coleman into something that's really exciting or if it's Kincaid becoming the final vision of what they thought he could be, really. So it's probably those two. I want to see Kincaid, who I think has had a bit of a quiet camp in preseason, and Coleman's had a little bit more hype surrounding him. So to me, it's those two guys. It's Kincaid and Coleman, what they can offer in this offense in year two for Coleman and year three for Kincaid.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to pick one of those two. Unless you wanted to pick something on the defense like Bosa or, I mean, Max Hairston eventually maybe is this answer. But, it's go time for Kincaid especially. Because this is year three, right? Like, I mean, not that if Coleman had a pedestrian year that there would be, I think, a lot of belief that there's some massive step coming in a third year for him. But if Kincaid doesn't do it this year, it's going to feel like, all right, this is what he is. This is 3 years now of him in this offense and playing with this quarterback. And if it's still not really happening, then it's going to feel like, you know, am I even bringing this guy back for a second contract? You know, is it a failed pick? And that could even be with him being a player that's somewhat helpful. You know, if he's a a 600-yard tight end that's a piece of the offense, but he's just not really that never really scares off defenses, never really looks all that threatening. That's kind of always been the thing for him with me is the plays never really look that threatening. I think there's a lot of good numbers, though, like Joe Marino's brought up about his, you know, efficiency rate and yak numbers that are pretty good and Allen missing him a lot last year that might point to there is more in there. But still don't just ever – it never looks – you know, it's not George Kittle with the football. You know,
no,
where
he's
like
a very different player, yeah.
Very different player. Down the field stuff too, like just give me a little of that. Give me some belief that there is an upper echelon tight end in there. Because so far, I'm not really seeing it, and you're into your third year. Like it's time to see it now, or you're probably never going to.
I guess with him, what you would the line you would differentiate, you know, you said Kittle and – when he's drafted, it's Kelce, right?
Yeah, he's not or prime Gronk running with the football.
Right, he's never going to be Gronk, never going to be Kittle. Like Kelce was maybe more of an idea. But when Kincaid gets drafted, the hype about what he could be, matchup nightmare, all that stuff, maybe that's part of the problem in terms of what we are expecting. Like Sal points out all the time, likes to point out, like when Kincaid's rookie season happened, he set the franchise record for tight ends by catches by a rookie, or maybe it was an
I think just tight end. I think he had the most catches by a tight end in Bills history.
Right, which is a kind of a low number, but whatever. He did that, and he deserves credit for that as being part of their offense. But I guess when he got drafted, the thing I always thought, Joe, was like, this is not a, to me, unique player in the league. A lot of teams have a tight end like this. They have someone that they feel this is important to have. So there was a little bit of a maybe an oversell on what he could do, but that doesn't mean he can't be really valuable and can't be a big part of what they do going forward. So you know, he doesn't have to be Kelce for it to be a success. He doesn't ever have to be Kittle or Gronk, who, of course, he's a very different player then. Just to be a reliably good piece of their offense. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that's a passing grade. At the end of this year, Kincaid, it'll be the fifth-year option in what to do on that. And do you need to see the Kincaid game? Do you need to see takeovers? Do you need to see, hey, they beat Baltimore week one because he had 9 for 114 and 2 touchdowns? Like, do you need games like that out of this player? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, I know it's the everybody eats offense, and you could sit here and say we're too focused on who makes the catches. But the point of that point is really you have something the other team can't stop, so you feed it. Right, so you go to that in that game. And that's something Joe Brady, of course, would sign off on. Like, whoever's open is going to get the ball. Can he be the guy that does it consistently in a game where that's what you exploit? And we haven't really seen huge games from him yet.
No, he didn't. He didn't lead the Bills in receiving yards in a single game last year. How many tight ends would have done that for their team over the course of the year? Like, there were just no big games, and even the year prior, just no. Yeah, right. Takeover games, not every week. You know, that's what Kelce does in his prime. But how about once a month? Once a month, look like, man, the defense just can't handle you today. Or this team's really bad against tight ends, and it's a nightmare matchup, and you just know Kincaid's going to exploit it all day.
Do you know what his season high in yards was last year?
It can't be higher than, like, did he get to 70?
He got to 53.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I think I'm looking at it.
I mean, injuries, 50. I know, but like 53. He did play most of the games.
Yeah, 53. His season high last year was 53 yards. He got 52, 51. So like that's where he kind of topped out. And the year before his rookie season, which was, again, was a good season. And this is only statistically. I know there is more value than just what you put on the stat sheet. But the point is, I think part of the evaluation of Kincaid is when you draft a first-round tight end – and the names that start getting thrown out there are like, you know, your Kelce's. And when you're talking about the receiver core, you have to include Kincaid. His best game ever is he's got two here. I've got over 80 yards.
Okay.
His rookie season, he's over 80 yards 3 times. 81 against Cincinnati, 87 against New England, 84 against Miami. Like that's the high mark. If he had a 100-yard game, it'd be the first of his career. You know, so I'm not totally tied up in the stats. The stats,
no, but
they represent that the other team didn't have an answer for him.
The other team did have an answer for him, you're saying?
Well, I'm saying, no, right. If you got to 100 yards, if you had a 120.
Oh, if you got to 100, yeah.
If you had a big statistical game, it would represent that,
right.
Hey, you've got something here, and they just don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Last year, Dalton Kincaid, you said his career high in receiving yard, career high, season high was 53 yards. Tight ends in the league that had a game with more receiving yards in a game than that, 43.
All right.
There were 43 tight ends that had more yards in a game than Kincaid did last year.
803-0550, our phone number. On that McDermott point from Mike Florio in a moment. Let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania, though. Mike's called in. Hey, Mike, good morning. Happy football
season.
Hey,
guys, good morning. Happy game week. I'm not really concerned with the offense. I just feel with Josh Allen, he's going to figure out how to get it done, whether it's Khalil Shakir, Kincaid, Ray Davis, James Cook. I just feel that there's enough weapons that they'll get it done. What I'm anxious to look at is, and they're going to get a big test week one, can they stop the run and can they get interior pass rush? So I'm going to be looking solely at that revamped defensive line week one.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of the – it's one of the things we're waiting to see. Maybe it's normal to be nervous about the defense going in when there have been so many changes. But, right, the interior of that defensive line, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, is Jordan Phillips getting activated for this game? One thing that Sal pointed out, and I think I have this right. We'll talk about this with Sal at 8 o'clock. Jordan Phillips, they might not activate for game one because as a vested veteran, if Sal, if you're listening, you can let me know if I get this right. Just text me because I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
If he is active in week one, his salary becomes fully guaranteed for the year. But if he's not active in week one, you could just activate him in week two, and his salary is not guaranteed for the whole year. So it could be a situation where cap stuff, economical stuff, whatever, that the Bills do not activate Jordan Phillips for that reason. So then this game comes down to Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, T.J. Sanders, right? Like you've got pieces in there, but you've got question marks because you kind of don't know what these guys are going to bring just yet.
Right. That would be, is that your room? You'd have two defensive tackles that have played a game in the NFL, which might be fine, but I wonder if they would feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Is there one other guy on the practice squad they could elevate? Or I guess it would be the same thing with that guy too, right? Unless he's a rookie. Zion Logue is the other guy that's on the team.
Right.
And he might be the same thing.
Thanks, Mike, for the phone call. What are you excited to get a look at on Sunday? That's our question here. What are you excited to get a look at? Mark in Coconut Creek is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thinking about Joey Bosa, and if looking at his stats, the last 3 or 4 years, he's got like, I don't know, 4 or 5 sacks. And if he can get back to, you know, his 10 and 12 sacks, standard from his earlier days. I just think he can put a little more pressure and prevent our D-backs from just getting cooked these next first few games. I'm nervous about the D.
Yeah.
But like the guy from PA said, you know, Josh is – and that offense is going to – you know, every game could be a shootout. And if it is, McDermott will be on the hot seat at the end of the year. So let's go, Bills. It's going to be a great season. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Mark. You know, expecting a lot from the offense. I'm glad, Mark, you went this direction because I have a question. I've never, you know, Joe, we talk about the Bills 20 hours a week, and I've never had this thought until right now hearing Mike Florio at the top of the hour. If you missed that, he said, like, you know, at some point, Sean McDermott's seat's going to get hot if they don't get farther, if they don't get results, yada, yada, yada. And then he suggests the idea of an offensive coach. The owner's going to get impatient and want to hire an offensive coach. Which is a conversation we have definitely had before, right? We've had it before.
Yep.
My question is this. Why would that be different? What would be different if the coach was an offensive coach? If you want to tell me, well, you wouldn't have to change coordinators every year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would 100% understand that. That is undeniable. But what else would be different? Joe Brady's been the offensive coordinator now for 2.5 seasons. So it's not change this year. It's not change last year. If you're saying offensive coach, it's for what? It's for more of a focus on the offensive side of the ball, more weapons for that side of the ball. The GM kind of indicates that, you know, he thinks they can do it the way that they're doing it. I don't know that he's wrong, but shouldn't the offensive coach narrative, what would it be for? Would that coach come in and say, I need a true wide receiver one? The entire organization seems to buy into the idea that you don't need that.
Yeah.
Or at least they're not necessarily keen on it. Like, pushing back on the idea that weapons are, that high-profile weapons are important, it's a ton of belief in, if I have Josh, I'll be fine. And we've got callers saying that, and that's a lot of people that feel that way. I mean, I feel like I feel that way. I do want to add more, but what would an offensive coach do to make things really any different?
Well, at the moment, like when you have the guy in the building that's doing a good job, like Joe Brady, then I think the answer is nothing. Like, it's going well, and they're bought into this ideology that they have on offense, and it's working, so you just go with it. But what you'd be avoiding is 10 weeks of a season, or even if you want to go beyond that, where you have a coordinator in there that might not know what he's doing, and Ken Dorsey, where your offense didn't look great for half a season.
You're going to
And that would not happen if you had McVay, Andy Reid. You had a great offensive coach that you just know is never going anywhere.
Sure. 2.5 years ago that happened.
Right.
You're telling me
that. But it might happen again next year.
It might happen again, but it won't happen this year.
No.
Again, like the concept is, for if you want to hire an offensive head coach, if your number one argument about doing that is continuity at the offensive coordinator or play caller position, that's not currently a problem, and you'd be making that move after a year where that was not the case.
But you would be making the move when? You'd be making the move when it's going to maybe come up again? Because who's going to, like, if he's pushing that question out to after this year, if they lose again, whatever, however it goes.
They lose again and Brady leaves and now there's a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
And what? And then they lose again? Now we're at, okay, I need an offensive coach. I just feel like you have a bit of an organizational build where the quarterback fixes everything on their offense, and their build is stud quarterback, awesome offensive line, a lot of guys that kind of mesh together, and the sum is greater than whatever, the parts, or you know what I'm trying to say. It's early, it's football season, my brain's switched to football. I have been on board with, like, I more offensive coaches make the Super Bowl than defensive coaches. I've heard all that. I know all that. I guess my point is, what would actually be different about this year? Because if they don't make the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl this year, and you as a fan, pretend you owe the team, you say, I got to move on to somebody else. You're not getting a different result by doing it, just making him an offensive coach. You want Joe Brady to be the head coach? Would Joe Brady be how would it be different?
What would be different is, again, I wouldn't have to ever go into the uncertainty of – and really what you'd be doing is ensuring that – your quarterback is going to have the most help possible on his side of the ball.
Wait a minute. In the coaching stand? Fine.
From the coaching stance, yeah.
All right, we're not talking about roster construction?
Because they're not doing that with players. Other than linemen, they're doing it.
So, again, like this is still – I don't want to keep getting back to that same point. I understand the idea of continuity from an offensive side of the conversation, but
– right.
That doesn't change what it would have been that last year and this year
have been your
problem.
No, but it would change next year.
Or the year before. I would have three playoff losses in this scenario with McDermott and Joe Brady. What would an offensive coach have done differently?
No, nothing. Not in the last three. I'm saying next year would be what it would be different.
And what would be different?
Would be different it is be, I'm going to have a coordinator in there. I have no idea if it's going to be as bad as what Ken Dorsey or if it's going to be as good as Joe Brady was.
Right, but you're going to hire an offensive coach. Who's that coach going to be? Maybe he's reputable.
Even on the staff. Maybe it's Ronald Curry who just gets promoted.
Sure, and he's the head coach. And I would know he's
the coordinator.
Who's the coach in this scenario?
McDermott.
In this scenario, he gets fired, like Mike Florio says, and the owner says, I need an offensive coach. Give me a name. Who's the guy?
Gotcha. You're the one who wants to do your coordinator draft.
That's true.
Next offensive coordinator other than Joe Brady that's going to get hired?
Davis Webb is named the head coach. Davis Webb. He's an offensive coach.
All right.
He's somebody a lot of people think will be a head coach someday. He's got a reputation. He's got a relationship with Josh Allen. Davis Webb is their head coach. I now know. All right, I've got continuity at the head coaching position from an offensive standpoint. But past that, if it's a new guy, I've got no proof of success. If it's a veteran coach, like let's say it's the next Sean Payton, I have my continuity at offensive scheme,
mm-hmm.
but I just kind of want to get back to it. That's not been the thing. That's the problem. You know, the GM mm-hmm. is bullish on the offense hasn't been the problem. And in this scenario where you're firing the defensive coach for an offensive coach, wouldn't the GM say, why am I doing that? The offense isn't the problem. We have switch coordinators, and right. the offense hasn't been the problem. Arguably, when they fired the offensive coordinator after a half a season, it was the defense that was the problem.
In the moment it was, but like their offense was not like by what their standards should be, their offense was not good.
That's right. They were turning it over a lot. They had a bunch of fumbles. They had a bunch of interceptions.
That was Allen trying to, I think, hold up and carry a very, an offense that just didn't seem to have an identity. And that's not a place I ever want to go back to. I never want to go back to that. So. Right, like maybe it would almost have to be Brady for this example, right? Because if you're making it a first-time coach, like a Davis Webb, then that's different because I have no idea what I'm going to get on that front. If I've got a Sean Payton available or it's Joe Brady, somebody that like, I know this guy's a really good coordinator in the National Football League, then or a really good play caller, then to me, like, right, that's not why they're losing playoff games,
right.
But it's under the umbrella of, I'm not just letting Josh Allen go out there and like I don't have to do anything on offense because my quarterback has got it. Like that would ensure if there was some problem with McDermott and they fired him after the year and promoted Joe Brady, I'd feel like I've got the same play caller for the rest of this guy's career.
Right, right. And that has value.
Right.
But the problem hasn't been the offense. So like that
except on the final drive.
Right, like what you're talking about is potentially a different way that they build, a different, because it sounds like as we lay this conversation out, again, like I don't think it's necessarily going to be something that goes this way, but you do get to what's the problem and what the GM kind of stands on business with that and what he's going to do ultimately.
Right, which I do not think is going to be McDermott being on even the hot seat after this year, by the way. I don't think any of that. Is what Florio laid out. Like, I don't think that if they even lose to, you know, in the wild card round, that like there's a true McDermott on the hot seat conversation.
Yeah. 803-0550. This has not been a full throated for me defense of McDermott. It's just I'd never thought about it like that before. As Florio says, mm-hmm. get an offensive coach in here. I just got the GM in my ear saying, as he did on the station, the defense is the problem. Wouldn't one think? If they'd have the same kind of loss, they would want a different defensive mind.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wouldn't that make more sense based on what the GM says? First off, if he even has the power to fire the coach. Listen, it's the day the season starts. We're not necessarily talking about firing the coach. We're talking about people talking about firing the coach.
That's right. That's right.
It's very key here for me.
Like, we're not talking about it. We're talking about people talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Very, very different.
The guys on the radio were firing McDermott this morning. That's not what we're doing.
All right. No.
Anyway, it's an interesting conversation. All right. Good stuff.
I'm looking at the list of offensive coordinators in the NFL right now and realizing I gotta brush up on some of these guys. Matt Nagy is back as a coordinator in the league. I mean, he's Kansas City, so he doesn't really call plays, right?
Yeah.
Kingsbury.
Davis Webb. Now that we've successfully pulled off our former Bill, future Bill fantasy league, I really think we could gateway right into offensive coordinator dynasty league. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
Yeah. That's a possibility for sure. We could even just do that with like four guys. Right?
True.
There's only so many coordinators. By the way, in our former Bill, future Bill draft, I believe Jordan Poyer was released and is being re-signed. I believe that is the second time a guy I drafted was signed.
He's not on your team right now. He's not on your roster. Sorry. He's not on your roster.
Oh, I dropped him.
That's right. That wouldn't have been allowed anyway. That'd be 3D chess. You keep a guy that's on the Bills thinking he's going to get caught and then re-signed. You would have had double points for Poyer because of that transaction they had to pull.
I wouldn't have wanted those points anyway. It feels like cheating.
Happy football season. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You're seeing one of the reasons I rarely broadcast from home anymore. When the kids were younger, I could get away with it. Now, I can't, and it's their first day of school. So I'm leaving for
a little bit. They were banging down the door there.
They will not go away. They want to talk on the radio. So I'm going to go take them to school because it's their first day, and I'm excited to do that, and they're excited. And then I'll be back. So you're going to talk to Sal, and I'm going to get to these munchkins. All right. Happy football season. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
I think the first and foremost thing, just trying to do too much and trying to play hero ball maybe too early. Over the years, just finding out, like, let the game come to us, especially myself. Throwing checkdowns early and moving the sticks and just worrying about, you know, the play at hand and not the entire drive. So, yeah, just looking forward to going out there and execute with my teammates.
Josh Allen on week one says, maybe in the past I've tried to play hero ball too much. He's very specifically, I think they're talking about the New York Jets game from a couple of years ago, which was one of the, since he became an elite quarterback, one of his worst games because he was doing that to an extreme extent. And that's we talked about Dorsey and Brady and the coaching staff a little bit in the last segment. That's Dorsey's offense, and Allen felt like he had to lift the whole thing up. And that week one game, the day after week one, they lost to the Jets. Nothing that could happen Sunday night, I don't think, will rate on the level that the reaction to that Jets loss had, because it was Zach Wilson coming in for Roger. It was like the perfect storm of overreaction Monday, where Rodgers goes out so early and it's Zach Wilson. It's a punt return and touchdown, and your quarterback is just throwing the ball in these crazy places. He's jumping over people 8 yards away from the first down marker after his coach told him to be smart. Just craziness in that week one game. And he did not do that last year. He has not done that in really any other opener that I can think of, even before he became elite. 2019 Jets opener. There was a game-winning touchdown pass to John Brown at the end. And other than that, it was a pretty careful, calculated day, if I remember correctly. But that Jet game that I think he's referencing there, 29 of 41, 236 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions and two fumbles. I mean, come on. He doesn't do that? Has he done that since? There's no way, right? five turnovers in a single game. I can't imagine that he's done that since then. 803-0550 is the phone number. Got into the coaching staff a little bit on the last segment. Mike Florio talking about, you know, if the Bills don't win this year, McDermott's got to be on the hot seat. I don't believe that that'll be the case, even if they were to miss the playoffs, maybe. But I don't think that's possible. And anything beyond that, I don't think there's a hot seat conversation. TJ in Toronto on this, on the coaching question. What's up, TJ?
Yeah, I want to talk about the coaching. I think McDermott's not a bad coach during the season. But when it comes to the playoff, he's not. He's not a playoff coach, okay? And it seems like the Bills organization is just depending on mediocrity. Just like Mike Tomlin, he's like a loyalty coach. He's been there so long, so you're going to keep him. McDermott will have to go if they don't make the playoff. They will. They may make the playoff, maybe. But if they don't go to the promised land, they should can him. He should move on and get somebody else. They should clean house from top to bottom and start all over. Every year, after year, after year, after year, after year. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to wait?
Well,
Buffalo organization, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. They're not cleaning house after a year. If they ever made changes, clean house, I can't imagine, would also be what they do, where everybody goes. At the end there, they ask, like, how long are they going to wait? And that is something that I've always been curious about, is not, you know, screaming and yelling, they got to fire him now, they got to fire him now, you know, they lost to the Chiefs again, time to move on. But I definitely wonder if they would get Allen's whole career without winning one. And if it is a complete, you know, pass, you keep going. If you're winning divisions and you're winning 10 plus games a year in the regular season, that's good enough. That's good enough to keep going forever. For now, it being good enough, I think is fair. I think is fine. But the forever part is where I get a little uncomfortable with that. And it really just comes down to the quarterback, though. I think that's the only part of it that really matters. Is you want, if you wanted that to happen, if you want them to move on from the coach someday, or you want them to move on from the GM someday because they're not winning in the playoffs, then you're going to need Josh Allen to be, I think, the catalyst for that. He's got to want it and put action on it. Ask or demand it. And I just can't see Allen right now being the type of person that would do that. And I also have no indication, and we've not heard any indication ever, that I think would make you think he feels that way. Even if he did want to think, you know, like, oh, I could do this with a different coach. I might want to try this with a different coach. I don't think he would be the type to go for that. Not yet. You never know. Like, Brady got different at the end. Rodgers, like, some of these guys' personalities change a little bit as they get into their 30s. But at the moment, that's part of why I don't even really feel like entertaining it as a possibility. Florio says, like, okay, like, oh, a hot seat at the end if they lose again. Like, all right. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think them winning the Super Bowl is far more likely than any sort of real, are they going to fire the coach conversation. Just don't think it's going to happen. Kieran in Toronto's next. Morning, Kieran.
Hey, morning. Yeah, I just wanted to build on that and just say, you know, if the Bills don't make the Super Bowl this year, at least make the Super Bowl. I mean, like, McDermott's great, but, you know, can we just maybe demote him to a defensive coordinator or give him some other role in the organization? I really like to see Josh when a Sean McVay kind of coach. And on top of that, I think just go all in on the offense. Get two alpha wide receivers, like with Cincinnati, Philly, Minnesota, what these guys have. And, you know, just kind of patchwork the defense, you know, with draft picks and guys like Bosa, you know, like high upside signing. You know, next year, new stadium. I think if we don't make the Super Bowl, we got to ride this momentum and just kind of have like a new vibe going into the new stadium next year.
And you're saying, wait, who do you want to be as defensive coordinator?
if McDermott can get demoted to the defensive coordinator,
yeah, no,
someone take over the head coach.
Yeah, that's the part. I just, it's not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. No, McDermott's their head coach, and he's going to be for a long time, I think, still. And if they ever, there was a day where they ever were going to move on from him, they're not demoting him. Teams don't do that. The new head coach wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want the old head coach, especially a guy that's, I mean, by that point, McDermott might be the winningest head coach in team history. You're going to want him on your staff below you. So, no. Listen, like, the playoff point, defense in the playoffs, like, all of that I think is fair to criticize. And that's why, like, when we talk about the defense for what they'll do Sunday and the regular season, like, getting the defense to be good enough to get the one seed's important. But there's always going to be that yeah, but. They could be the third best defense in the league this year, and the secondary could look good, and there's still going to be a little bit of nervous tension of, is this going to hold up when I go play the Ravens, when I go play the Chiefs, when I go play the Bengals in the big playoff games? More so the Bengals and Chiefs, because they've, you know, they've managed against the Ravens. One more call before the break. Jay in Rochester is next up. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm on the one extreme of this, man. I really think Sean McDermott has proven that he's a failure. He's not going to win a Super Bowl. When I say a failure, I mean by winning a Super Bowl. The guy crumbles under pressure. He should have been fired after 13 seconds. I also believe this is should be Brandon Bean's last swing at it. I mean, how many times are you going to give guys the opportunity to win a championship? And if you don't win a championship, that's all that matters. I lived through four straight Super Bowl losses, my friends. Winning a division and getting to the AFC Championship game is not an accomplishment. A Super Bowl championship is really all that matters. There is no tomorrow. Brandon Bean refuses to go all in any season to get a championship. And I'll give you a little secret here. I have as many Super Bowl titles as Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. It's time to move on. Josh Allen is the only reason why we're winning the way we are.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jay, for the call. I do not agree that because Sean McDermott has not won a Super Bowl yet, that means he can't win a Super Bowl. If he goes his whole career and does not win a Super Bowl with this quarterback, and you want to call it a failure, I'm into that. Honestly. But that's so far in the future. I do not believe that he is incapable, but there are definitely things in playoff games I would like to see from his defenses to get there. But to assume that that won't happen, you know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not at that point. He did look. He's figured out the Ravens twice in playoff games. Right? Like last year, could you even call it like a great job? Because no, they statistically at the end it didn't look great. It didn't look pretty. Lamar picked them apart. But did he feel like that's the only path I got? I've got to force a couple mistakes early. I've got to let him throw all over us. I'm going to take Derrick Henry away, in part because I just don't have the players for this. Rasul Douglas at an advanced age, and I don't have a defensive line that's going to get after Jackson. I got Epinesa in there all the time, and Milano has just come back, and it's, you know, the safeties not being what they used to be. He might have felt like that was his only way to do it, and it happened. But it's more for me than just the playoffs. It's just the Chiefs. I'm not convinced McDermott he just can't perform in the playoffs. As much as I am, he's just never going to have the Chiefs figured out. That would be my bigger concern right now than just anything that happens in the postseason. And if they run into, and that's why I think he could win it. There could be a year they don't see the Chiefs. And then I'm going to feel like, here we go. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got a thought on this. It's the NFL season opener tonight. NFL.com just tweeted out a graphic of a player from each team walking down the Golden Gate Bridge, which is where the Super Bowl is this year in San Francisco. A couple of weird ones here. Jordan Mailata is the Eagles player, not Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley or A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or, like, everyone else is like, it's the core. It's Allen, it's Jaden Daniels, Burrow, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, like, a lot of them are the quarterbacks of the star players. And then the Eagles guys, just like, is that the tackle? The guard they have out there? Time out here. More of your phone calls after this on WGR. All right, quick segment. Take a timeout. We'll come back. Take more of your phone calls. Get into the 9 o'clock hour of our Thursday night four-leg parlay coming up as well, as we will every Thursday. We should also keep record this year of how we're all doing, because I feel like last year I didn't have a single mistake. But we also didn't win our parlays, and it is a team sport when you're doing parlays. What do I like tonight? I don't know if you guys are like this in fantasy, and for me, I'll include the betting part of it here. I try not to be too all in on one thing. And if I am, I'll even protect myself against, like, I'm in enough leagues where if I have Jordan Mason's one of my most picked players, because I just think he's going to take over that Vikings backfield, and that's a great coach for that. It's a great offense for that. And I have him most of the places. One or two places I'll draft Aaron Jones. Protect myself in case I'm just dead wrong. Jordan Mason's going to be a backup all year. That's how I am right now with Dak Prescott. Everywhere I'm buying them and drafting them, because they're going to be playing catch up all year long. But shouldn't I be protecting myself against what? Him getting injured again, right? I mean, he's going to go out there tonight against the Eagles, and he could get battered around and beaten up. But I've been thinking he's going to throw for like 5,000 yards. If he doesn't, I'm going to have a really bad fantasy season. And betting season. Although I just have him for MVP. Which isn't going to happen anyway. They're going to win enough games. So that's the Cowboys tonight. I think everybody's, right, we're all rooting for the Cowboys to just get smoked. It's not like, no one really likes the Eagles, but whatever. The Cowboys, everyone would love to see them get dunked on. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We'll get to our Thursday night parlay as well. And we will keep talking about Bills and Ravens coming up. Sal Capaccio is going to join the show coming up next. So In the next segment, a lot on injuries, the whole roster maneuvering with Gabe Davis and Jordan Poyer. We'll get into that with Sal and plenty more. Coming up here on Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.